The reason doctors like lowering their patients' cholesterol is to decrease their risk of developing cardiovascular disease. There's no point decreasing cholesterol levels if it has no impact on cardiovascular disease. Ezetimibe, which is also known as Zetia, Ezetrol, and Vytorin when it's in combination with simvastatin, was on the market for 13 years before the manufacturers finally published a study to assess whether it actually had any benefits for cardiovascular disease. This was called the Improve It trial and is the topic of today's podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Evidence-Based Medicine podcast, where each week we delve into a landmark, practice-changing clinical study. I'm Daniel Aronov, and this week ezetimibe is put to the test with the Improve It trial. Just by way of background, the FDA approved ezetimibe in 2002 without any evidence that it had patient-oriented benefits like reducing cardiovascular disease. The approval was based entirely on trials that showed that it was able to lower LDL cholesterol over placebo. This drug was marketed so aggressively in the following years that it managed to make $5 billion of sales in its first 5 years, well before any trials were done to test whether it reduces cardiovascular disease. Remember, we want to lower cholesterol for the sake of reducing cardiovascular disease, not just to make blood tests look better. Before the Improve It trial came in 2015, the manufacturers of ezetimibe intermittently published studies, some on other surrogate markers like carotid artery wall thickness, and other smaller ones on cardiovascular outcomes, but they never looked good for ezetimibe. Let's just go through some of these so we can get a complete picture of ezetimibe. So, in 2008, they published the ENHANCE trial, where they compared simvastatin and ezetimibe versus simvastatin alone for carotid intimal thickening, which is a measure of atherosclerosis in the carotid arteries. Now again, this is just a surrogate marker for cardiovascular disease, the thought being that the thicker your carotid arteries, the more likely you will develop cardiovascular disease. And you could argue that this is a bit better than just showing its impact on cholesterol levels. And this primary outcome was no different between the two groups. In fact, the carotid artery walls were actually thicker in the ezetimibe group, but this was not statistically significant. Then came the CEASE trial, which compared ezetimibe plus simvastatin to simvastatin alone for 1,873 patients with aortic stenosis. They followed them up for 4.5 years to see if there were any differences in ischemic events or aortic valve events, but there were none. Concerningly, this trial showed a statistically significant increase in cancer with ezetimibe. In 2009 came another one of these carotid artery wall thickness ones. This time they compared statin plus ezetimibe versus statin plus niacin. Niacin being another drug that is shown to reduce LDL and increase HDL. Again, they were looking at the thickness of the carotid artery, and with the niacin, it was actually better than with the ezetimibe. Alright, now we get to 2011, and finally the first study to show benefits of ezetimibe on heart outcomes like death and heart attacks and strokes. This was the SHARP trial that took almost 10,000 patients with kidney disease and found that they did better with ezetimibe. Yippee! Cardiovascular events went down from 13.4% to 11.3% over 5 years of follow-up. So yay, ezetimibe works! The lipid hypothesis is back on track. Oh, what? Hang on. No, they didn't. No, they couldn't have. Did they? They did. They compared statin plus ezetimibe versus nothing at all. Ezetimibe, together with the drug we already know reduces cardiovascular disease, to nothing at all. So was it the statin doing all the work? Who knows? It's impossible to tease out how much of the benefit came from statins versus how much came from ezetimibe. Can you believe they did that? What a waste of time and money. So, what do we have so far? Well, we have a bunch of trials showing ezetimibe lowers cholesterol, and it consistently does this well, lowering it by about 20%. But any trials that have tested heart outcomes have either shown no benefit for ezetimibe or have been a ridiculous comparison. That was all until 2015. 12 years after they got approval by the FDA. I should note that in the meantime, they had been making $3 billion worth of sales per year. All right, I'm sorry to sound so cynical this episode, but it really bothers me. That is so much of our limited healthcare expenditure spent fixing lab test results. Why would regulators approve it without making them first show that it helped with important outcomes? I mean, come on. Okay, I'm taking my cynical hat off. Let's talk about the Improve It trial. So this came out in 2015 in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was a multi-center, international, double-blinded, placebo-controlled trial to test whether ezetimibe with simvastatin is better than simvastatin alone in terms of cardiovascular outcomes. So what is the added benefit of ezetimibe over statins? And this was a huge, high-quality trial with a few caveats that we'll get to. But before we get into it, let's play Guess That Acronym. So, IMPROVE IT stands for Improved Reduction of Outcomes Vitorin Efficacy International Trial. I see, so they took the I, the M, and the P from IMPROVED to make that acronym. Well played, Vitorin, well played. And double points because it nicely played on the title of the PROVE IT trial, which was a trial comparing high-dose statin to medium-dose statin. Alright, so let's get into this study. So, they took pretty much the highest risk patients you can get, men and women over the age of 50 who had just had a heart attack within the last 10 days. They had to have LDL cholesterols over 1.3 millimoles per liter, which is 50 milligrams per deciliter for any Americans out there. They excluded those with kidney and liver disease. They originally recruited 5,000 patients, but then this number increased to 18,144, and I'll discuss that a little bit later. They also extended this trial twice, so the follow-up ended up being 7 years on average. So they randomized these 18,000 or so patients to one of two groups. One group got simvastatin at 40 milligrams, and the other group got simvastatin 40 milligrams plus ezetimibe 10 milligrams. The primary outcome they were assessing was a composite of death from cardiovascular disease, myocardial infarction, unstable angina requiring hospital admission, revascularization, and stroke. A pretty controversial composite outcome, because some argue that unstable angina and revascularization, which is just stents and things like that, should not be grouped together with heart attacks and strokes. They call them softer outcomes. But you'll see later from the breakdown of each of these that revascularization and angina didn't contribute much to the results of this composite. So, let's talk about the baseline characteristics of the patients in the study. So, as I said, all of them had just had a heart attack within the last 10 days, but 20% of them had previous heart attacks on another occasion. So, this was their second or their third heart attack. The average age was 64, a quarter of them were women, and a quarter had diabetes. The average LDL cholesterol was 2.4 millimoles per liter, which is 93.8 milligrams per deciliter. Damn American system. All right, let's get to the results. What did they find? Now, we shouldn't really care about what happened to their cholesterol, but in case you're interested, it decreased from 1.8 millimoles per liter in the statin-only group to 1.4 millimoles per liter in the statin-ezetimibe group. So about a 20% reduction in LDL, which is what we've seen in other trials with ezetimibe. Perhaps the most important result was that the high sensitivity CRP was lower in the ezetimibe group. I'm just kidding. I couldn't care less about CRP. But for those who may not know, high sensitivity CRP became famous for a while for being a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. But then people realized that lowering CRP didn't improve anything. And so it mostly went out of the spotlight. All right. Are you ready for the results? The primary outcome, which if you remember was that composite of heart attack, strokes, angina, and revascularization, went from 34.7% in the statin-only group to 32.7% in the ezetimibe statin group. So there was a 2% reduction in cardiovascular disease when adding ezetimibe to a statin for these extremely high-risk patients, when given for 7 years, I should say. To put it another way, 98% of people who have just had a heart attack and take this drug for 7 years will not derive any benefit from it. Now, can I just put these numbers into perspective? So 35% developed cardiovascular disease over 7 years in this trial. A statin would reduce the risk from 35% to about 26% if it was low dose and to about 23% if it was high dose. Ezetimibe reduced it from 35% to 33%. And can I put it in perspective again? So this trial showed that treating patients who have just had a heart attack with ezetimibe will reduce cardiovascular disease by 2% after 7 years. By comparison, a trial that gave statins immediately after a heart attack reduced cardiovascular disease by 2% in 16 weeks. And it only needed 3,000 patients to prove it, rather than this 18,000 patients for 7 years. And if you like using relative numbers, the relative decrease in cardiovascular disease was about 6% with ezetimibe. Now, statins give about a 25% relative risk reduction. And going from low dose to high dose statin even gives you more bang for your buck than ezetimibe, with about a 10% further reduction. And that's in cardiovascular disease on top of that already given by the low dose statin. Okay, now let's break down the composite outcome. So the good thing is that the bulk of the 2% reduction came from hard outcomes. They mostly came from heart attacks and strokes. There was a 1.7% reduction in non-fatal heart attacks and a 0.6% reduction in strokes. But there was no difference in cardiovascular mortality or in overall mortality, which is interesting because statins consistently show a reduction in mortality, at least for secondary prevention. And this is of the magnitude of about 10% usually. But alas, ezetimibe could not show a difference in mortality even at this very high risk population. Now, in terms of harms, they looked very thoroughly at all sorts of side effects and liver functions and muscle problems. They did a really good job at this. And there was really no difference in harms between the two groups. Importantly, no difference in cancer rates, because previous studies had signaled an increase in cancer rates with ezetimibe. Okay, so just a few things we need to discuss before we figure out the bottom line. Firstly, 42% of patients stopped therapy in each group. Now, that is a very high dropout rate. So make of that what you will, because I don't really know what to make of it. Secondly, there were 5 amendments to the protocol during the study, and one was to increase the sample size. Now, let's just sit down and list all the reasons a study would want to increase their sample size or increase its duration. Number one, because they didn't like the results they were seeing. Number two, actually, that's really the only reason I can think of. How dodgy is that? They reported in their methods that they were looking for a certain number of events, 5,200 to be exact. But was that the plan from the beginning, or did that just become the plan while the study was going on? I mean, there was a lot riding on this trial, $3 billion a year in sales. They really couldn't afford not to show a benefit, even at the expense of good science, perhaps. Alright, the next point is that when they ran the statistics before the study, they calculated that they needed 5,000 people to detect a 9% relative risk difference in cardiovascular outcomes. They ended up with 18,144. So my question is, where was that interim analysis for 5,000 people? I mean, they must have done one to then decide to increase the number to 18,000. Where's that report? Another very important point I want to make is that this drug is being heavily marketed for use in primary prevention, but there is no evidence that it works at all in primary prevention. I mean, it only just sort of barely works in secondary prevention. But let's say that this 6% relative reduction carries true even in primary prevention. What benefits might patients who haven't had heart attacks be getting from this drug? So in Australia, our guidelines recommend initiating cholesterol therapy once the 5-year risk reaches 15%. A statin would reduce that risk down to about 10% over that 5 years, whereas ezetimibe would reduce it to 14.1%, so a 0.9% reduction in cardiovascular disease if taken every day for 5 years. And in America and the UK, their guidelines are recommending to start therapy at 10% 10-year risk. So if a patient with this risk took ezetimibe every single day for 10 years, only 0.6% of them would get any sort of benefit from this drug. I really don't think this drug has much of a role in primary prevention, but more than happy to hear different opinions. One last thing I want to mention is that standard of care after myocardial infarction is high-dose statin at a dose of 80 milligrams of simvastatin. While the majority of the cardiovascular benefits come from the first sort of 10 milligrams, there is evidence that 80 milligrams provides a small but significant benefit on top of this. Now, this study only used 40 milligrams, which is below the recommended post-myocardial infarction dose of statin. So would we still see a benefit for ezetimibe on top of this recommended 80 milligram simvastatin? That is really anyone's guess. All right, one last point, and I promise this will be the last one. Okay, so this is the second drug now that lowers cholesterol and also lowers cardiovascular disease. So I guess it adds to the argument for the lipid hypothesis. But I just think it's important not to get carried away and use drugs that lower cholesterol but don't have evidence on cardiovascular outcomes. There have been several drugs like fibrates, torsatrabib, niacin that improve the lipid profile but have shown no improvements in cardiovascular outcomes, some even showing harms. So while the authors, in their conclusion, make a very bold statement that this study clearly proves the lipid hypothesis, I would still be cautious. All right, so what's the bottom line? For patients who have just had a heart attack, adding ezetimibe to statin therapy will at best reduce cardiovascular disease by a relative risk reduction of 6%. Compare this to statins and blood pressure medications, which offer a relative risk reduction of around 30%. Ezetimibe will not reduce death compared to statins that have been shown to reduce death, and there is no evidence that ezetimibe has any benefit in primary prevention. Alrighty, that's it from me. Check out the show notes where I've written all the major points and numbers and provided all the references to any of the trials that I mentioned. You can find them at www.ebmpodcast.com. If you have a friend or colleague that you think will like this podcast, please let them know. I mean, be tactful about it. Don't just say, hey, I've noticed you're not very evidence-based in your practice. Have I got a podcast for you? I would also love it if you subscribe to my YouTube channel where I publish evidence-based videos. That's at www.youtube.com/DrDanMD. DrDanMD. Next week, we delve into the evidence behind delayed antibiotic prescriptions. Does giving a patient a script and telling them only to use it if things don't get better in a couple of days lead to worse outcomes? Does it lead to less antibiotic prescribing? And what about patient satisfaction? That's next week. I'm Daniel Aronov. I'll talk to you then.